Welcome once again to BadQuaker.com. It's Wednesday, July 13th, 2011, and this is our 13th podcast.
Ooh, spooky.
Good thing we don't do these on a Friday. So, I'm Ben.
And I'm Kai.
Well, we wanted to cover a couple things that are popping around in our heads today. We've got a milk story coming out of Kentucky that had us both cracking up pretty good. And we wanted to cover that. And another thing, I wanted to just do a crazy wild rant based on the fantastical concept that what if there were just magically no state in the time frame, say, between the two world wars? What if at the end of the First World War, what if everybody went, you know, this state idea is stupid? And they had just abolished states worldwide. You know, maybe that would have been a really smart thing to do, considering how many people the state murdered during the 20th century.
Yeah.
And let me just touch on that. People are afraid of anarchy because you never know, some crazy person might kill. I mean, we have crazy people like Manson or the Unabomber or what was the guy, John Wayne Gacy or Casey or whatever his name was.
Gacy.
Yeah. And there's this fear, oh no, if we had anarchy, that kind of thing might, you know, how many is the most one of those people can kill?
Yeah.
You know, Manson might be tied to 15, 18 murders, and the Unabomber, I think he was only successful in two or three of his murder attempts.
I think serial killers have a tendency to top out around 20.
Yeah, it's a time issue, because you can only live so long and you can only affect so many people.
Right.
But, you know, Pol Pot murdered a lot of people, and Mao Zedong murdered a lot of people, and Stalin murdered a lot of people, and Hitler murdered a lot of people, and FDR murdered a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how you balance that and say, oh, I'm afraid of the guy down the street, but this guy over here who just cooked two cities, oh, yeah, that's the guy I want to pay my taxes to and have him,
right?
You know. Oh, well, okay. Anyway, but that's not the, that's not the topic.
So I want to touch on the raw milk story before we get to the...
No, I want to talk about planes. I want to talk about planes.
Yeah, but if we talk about planes, we'll never get to the raw milk. Once we start on the planes, we're good for the rest of the show. Okay, so we got... What's happening with raw milk right now is that federally, the sale of raw milk is banned. Federally, it is a controlled substance, much like marijuana.
Heroin,
yeah. On this level. And...
You got your crack, you got your meth, you got your heroin, you got your milk.
Yeah. So, federally, it is... banned for sale. You cannot sell raw milk. The states, different states, have different laws regarding raw milk. In California, you can buy raw milk. You can go right to the grocery store and you can buy it. In Kentucky, it is not legal to buy raw milk.
Now, I was reading, this is going to throw your topic off just for a second, but I was reading something about in the Bay Area, I believe Santa Clara County in California, in the Bay Area, the county, I think, was trying to make a fuss about the purchase of raw milk. But I can't remember how that came out. I remember reading a story about it.
I'm not sure.
So there may be some certain amount of battleground going on in California, too. But,
right.
But go ahead with your Kentucky story.
So, Kentucky, you are not allowed to sell raw milk. Now, what you are allowed to do is have a herd share program.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're a farmer and you have cows, you can have members of the public buy shares of your cows.
And then they get so much milk for whatever the share is.
Right, right. So they're not buying the milk. They own a portion of a cow.
So therefore they can get their own milk from their own cow.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that is entirely legal,
mm-hmm,
within the state of Kentucky.
That's the kind of ridiculous, stupid things we have to do to work our way around the state. And let me just throw this off for a second, because this is how black markets work, and it's so beautiful. The state can create a ridiculous, stupid law and try to control a substance. Doesn't matter what the substance can be. It could be bananas. It could be, you know, whatever, toothpicks. It doesn't matter. When the state decides to make a stupid, idiotic law and control that substance or the sale of that item, people are so inventive that they will always figure out a way to go around that.
Mm-hmm.
If possible, they'll go around it legally. If not possible, they'll go around it anyway.
Yep.
Now, I did an article called something like The Dog in the Yard, and it's about why the TSA can't work, or why the TSA guarantees that airplane safety is worse than it would be otherwise.
Right.
Because it's just like a dog in the yard. You put a dog in your backyard, and you think, okay, he's in the backyard, the backyard's fenced, he can't get out, right? Yeah, the dog's got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If he wants out, he will figure out a way to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go around and you can try to do this and do that and do this and do that to try to keep the dog from figuring out how to get out. But if he wants out, he will get out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has nothing else to do but figure out how to get out.
Yep.
And that's why prohibitions can never work. The government says, okay, no raw milk. All right, I want raw milk. You want to sell raw milk. We're going to figure out a way for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do it legally through jumping through all kinds of silly hoops, we'll do it. But either way, we're going to do it.
Yep.
That's why prohibitions will never, 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 never work on any item. Doesn't matter what it is. Okay,
yep.
I'm sorry. Now back to Kentucky.
So we have this ridiculous law in place where in order to have raw milk, you have to own a portion of a cow. So we have these people in Louisville that are part of a food co-op.
By the way, is the capital of Kentucky pronounced Louisville or Louisville?
It's pronounced Frankfurt.
Old joke.
So they're part of a food co-op, and they own a herd share from this farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And an official from the Louisville Metro Department of Health and Wellness issued them a phony citation that said that, the quarantine would remain until all milk products are shown to be in compliance with the FDA and State of Kentucky Food Code, which basically means pasteurized. But the FDA only regulates interstate commerce, and so...
Essentially, there is no...
Right, there is no FDA regulations about herd share milk.
Right.
And so the,
So it's a fake citation.
Right. They,
it's not based on an actual law or regulation.
Right. They issued this phony citation. and the people in the co-op said no. And they got their milk anyway. And they said, hey, you know, we own the cows, it's our milk, and, you can't stop us. So,
good
way
for
to
them.
Go, Kentucky anarchists.
Good for them. Way to go, Kentucky.
Which just, it leads me to believe that, you know, pretty soon here we're going to see the raw milk rebellion. Because trying to take trying to take substances from Appalachian farmers hasn't worked real well in the past.
Yeah. You know, just comparing it to... That's a reference to, of course, Appalachia being the home of alcohol in North America for good portions of history. But that's a good example. I wrote a thing just the other day on the Whiskey Rebellion, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
now that you bring that up.
And it's actually funny because this is coming from Natural News, and...
Which sometimes, I was just saying a minute ago before we turned the mic on, sometimes you have to be careful what you get from Natural News, because sometimes there's some goofy stories on there.
And he said this, and I'm looking through the most popular links on the Natural News, and I see one that says, U.S. government caught in fake vaccination program, harvesting DNA from civilians to target terrorists. And I told that to him, and I was like, yeah, can you believe that? They're making up all sorts of things. And he goes, no, that one's real.
That one's real.
You can't even tell anymore. They're doing such Wile E. Coyote acme, silly things that you can't even tell what's fake and what's not anymore.
This is why, you know, sites like InfoWars and Alex Jones, people like that are so successful, because you can come up with something utterly ridiculous and throw it out there. Yeah, did you know the government is doing, and you just fill in the blank with the most ridiculous thing you can think of. And rather than people go, that's stupid, people have to stop and go, well, yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Because you never know what kind of goofy program. When you take a group of people like we have in the state, and this is on all levels of government, from city right up to the top in Washington, you take people and you take away incentive of invention, mm-hmm. and you take away punishment for the market punishes, mm-hmm. the market provides incentive for invention and innovation, and the market provides punishment for bad behavior. In other words, you go broke.
Right.
When you take away those two things.
And personal responsibility for your actions.
Yes, that's the third thing. Those are all built into the market. But when you remove those three things, like it is in the state, in any level of government, you've removed personal responsibility, you've removed incentive to innovate and invent, and you have removed the punishment of the market for failure. When you remove those three things, and you have all kinds of funding, mm-hmm. because there's no limit to how much the government can rob from its people.
Right.
They just keep robbing more and more. Now, they may rob in 20 different ways so that it's not obvious, but they still keep robbing more and more and more. So there's no limit on to how much they can steal. And when they get their own presses and they can make their own money, we're not on real specie now. So they can just create as much money as they want. Again, more robbery.
Right.
Once they're doing that, there's no limit to whatever goofy idea comes into one of their heads. They just throw a few million dollars at it,
yep.
and go with it.
Yep.
'Cause why not?
Because there's no, if it doesn't work or if it goes badly,
mm-hmm.
there's no repercussion.
Yeah. Thinking specifically, there's a lot of fuss right now going on about NASA because the president has defunded part of NASA. And it's like, yeah, defund more of NASA.
All of NASA.
Yeah.
All of it.
I can speak firsthand, the tiny little 1 year that I worked for those clowns, they are worthless. The actual NASA itself wastes massive amounts of money to do what the market could do with a fraction of that money and mm-hmm. do it more efficiently and actually accomplish something with it.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, we made it to the moon. Really? And what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made it to the moon. And what? Oh, but we have satellites. Well, I'm pretty sure we'd have satellites since the 1930s, it's been illegal for any private company to go out and create their own rockets and try to put up their own satellites. It's
yep.
been illegal.
Yep.
So if it weren't illegal, if it weren't for the government interfering, who knows? Who knows what we would have in space right now?
Yep. And I love it because there are so many environmentalists who are all, don't mine and don't do nuclear power plants and don't... Well, if we had the option of mining in space where we have chunks of iron the size of California...
Yeah, just floating around waiting for somebody to come latch onto it and drag it back down to Earth.
Yeah, or mine it out there.
Yeah, and refine it.
Yeah.
Fly it back here. You don't know what could have happened. Did we just segue from milk into the airplane thing?
I think we did.
Man, that's almost like we planned it or something. Which we didn't. I was going to make a hard switch over, but we're there. So are we done with the milk?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So, just in recap, resist your government.
And yeah.
If they're doing things that, you know, you don't agree with, tell them no.
Unless, you know, you just don't like to get handcuffed, thrown to the floor, have a gun pointed to your head.
Well, you know, there's that, but come on.
There's always the downside to the black market. So the fantasy world where, realize that, you know, if you imagine time progressing as like a single string, and then... shooting off of that string is possibilities of how things could have been but weren't. So if, for instance, Isaac Newton was very sick as a young baby and a young child. He barely made it out of childhood. He was so sick all the time when he was little that they literally prepared for his death for years. Mm-hmm. And then he got to be of a certain age and his health started kicking in. And by the time he was 12, 14 years old, he was doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. But before that time, up until that time, it was touch and go whether he would live or not.
Right.
Well, so the string of time is going in one direction. Well, where would it have gone had that one man died when he was 4 years old? How would it have affected that, the rest of that string, and what direction would it have taken?
Mm-hmm.
So if we take that same thing and we, you can't tell. It's, you know, there's no possible way that you could come up with a legitimate version of history because there's so many factors involved.
Right.
But if you go with our premise that we were talking about, with the end of World War One, and the whole world looks around and goes, man, this is what states do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we would have all agreed that this ridiculous idea of the modern state is a horrible, murderous thing, and we just eliminate it all at the end of World War One.
Which, at the end of World War One, I don't really see how there's any way that you could look at the state as anything other than just monstrous.
Yeah. There, you know, unfortunately, the state was at its best, so to speak, when it comes to propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just ridiculous, crazy lies that specific states like Great Britain was saying about things that the Germans were doing, which they weren't doing.
Right.
Things that the Germans were saying that the French were doing that the French were not doing. Things that the United States was saying that the Germans did that they just didn't do. It was just an open lie. And this weird fascist marriage between the media and the government in the late 1800s created this war machine that just drug us right into events that we did not have to be a part of, that there was no justification for. You know, so one guy in Serbia or Croatia or wherever that happened kills another guy. I'm living in Kansas. Why would I care?
Right.
Why would I care if the Archduke of whatever is dead? I don't know him.
Yeah.
I'm not even related to him.
Yeah.
Never met the man. Why would I care? That's up to them to deal with locally.
Yep.
If that mentality would have been worldwide, and if there would have been no more state after World War One, what would it look like? Well, we can imagine a couple things. For instance, the illogical desire for speed within our society, I would argue that it's created by the government. The state. Let's take a period of time. Let's say the 1920s and 1930s. Airplanes were pretty much a novelty. They were an oddity. They were fairly unsafe. they were made with a lot of strings and wires and things. And their engines were relatively undependable,
right,
compared to what they are nowadays. So there wasn't a lot of trust in airplanes. There was airplanes that were used for advertising, for stunts. They had air races. They had.
But most of those things took place at a relatively low altitude.
Yeah, and relatively low speed compared to what we're dealing with now.
Right.
This was prior to the invention of the jet engine, so they were all prop-driven engines, the big propeller. And one thing about airplanes in the 20s and 30s, they were kind of like the last means that you would ever want to use to go someplace over a long distance. Airplanes were noisy. They were really super cold. They didn't have a way to heat the interiors very well. They were unreliable. You could only fly them in good weather.
This is why you see, you know, the stereotypical airplane pilot with the big coat and the scarf and the hat and
either heavy leather jacket of some kind, possibly a leather hat, and all wrapped up gloves.
Fur-lined.
Yeah, yeah. In the 20s and 30s, air travel was extremely uncomfortable. On the other hand, there were three types of travel, that were very popular, and the rich loved these three types of travel. That was cruise ships, nice and slow. You want to go to, you want to get to California, but you're in New York. How are you going to do it? If you have money, you're going to get on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't call them cruise ships back then. They were luxury liners.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get on a cruise ship for fun, and we just ride around in circles pretty much.
Right.
But back then, it was actual travel. And so you would have, it was very glamorous. You would have all these big steamer trunks, and you would take 6 months worth of stuff with you,
mm-hmm.
and you would have all kinds of different outfits that a person would take with them, and all personal items that you would never take on a trip today. And then you would load all that into your cabin and steam around the world at a nice slow pace. Literally 12, 14 miles an hour.
Right.
You're literally going 12, 14 miles an hour from New York to London, or New York to, you know, all the way around to San Francisco, or perhaps even to like Hong Kong or somewhere. Perfectly fine at that pace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other way that people liked to travel was trains. Trains were a little faster, but they didn't quite have the luxury.
Right.
They were still luxurious compared to like an airplane or an automobile.
Right.
A train was still pretty luxurious in those days, but they were a little shaky and a little bit more noisy.
And a little bit more affordable?
Yeah, they were more the common man's mm-hmm. method of transportation. Rich people would have private cars and would use train travel at times, but mostly it was available for the more of the common man. But again, you're going 40, 50 miles an hour, and you're comfortable, and you have a waiter, you sit down and have a cooked meal. You know, it was still a good level of luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And the third method, which was gaining popularity very quickly, was a Zeppelin. A Zeppelin was very much like a cruise ship. It was very much like a luxury liner. You ate on actual china with a chef would cook for all the travelers. They had fine wines available. The tricky part was that most of the Zeppelins were all from Germany.
Right.
They were pushing the technology, but they were very popular in the U.S., and they were popular in England and in France and so forth. But the problem with them was that they were filled with hydrogen.
Right.
Now, we all know why Zeppelins lost their popularity, because one Zeppelin crashed and a few people died. Literally, a few people died.
Can you imagine if, you know, we're all going to stop traveling on planes because a plane crashed and a couple people died.
Yeah.
That's like a weekly event.
I can't remember the numbers now, but it was, I'm thinking something like 12 or 18 or 22 people, something like that, total died in the crash of the Zeppelin in
New Jersey. So less people than who will die in car accidents today.
Exactly. Just in the U.S. More people will die in the U.S. in a car accident today than died in that Zeppelin accident. But it was very, you know, there was a reporter there, and he gave this gut-wrenching description of the crash, and he's crying on the air and everything, and the recording went around the world and terrified people, and it killed the industry.
But you have to ask, why was that balloon, why was that Zeppelin filled with hydrogen?
Exactly. Now, not the Ghostbusters. The Mythbusters. The Mythbusters did a thing.
Ghostbusters, but a little different.
Still fantasy involved. But the Mythbusters did a thing to try to determine if it was the hydrogen or if it was the coating on the balloon. It wasn't a balloon, but it's a rigid. Yeah. But anyway, but all that aside, you still have this giant container of hydrogen, which is highly flammable. And the reason that it was a highly flammable container of hydrogen is because the U.S. government refused to sell helium to the German government. That's one state having a little hissy fit with another state.
Yep.
If it weren't for that, then the Zeppelins would have been filled with helium, like modern-day blimps are, and they would have been perfectly safe. Now, there are other gases that we've discovered since then that could have been used, but helium is, a pretty good choice.
Right.
But that...
Seeing as how it doesn't burst into flames.
Yeah. So again, what would things be like if there were no state? Well, there still would have been Zeppelins, because the Zeppelin family was the ones inventing and building and trying to make that into an industry. If there would have been no state, others would have locked on to the same thing and started competing with the Zeppelin family. So you would have had, not only Zeppelins, you would have had maybe Smiths or, Vanderhoots or whatever. And they would have been creating these as well. And so there would have been competition. Competition, unlike when there's a state, when there's no competition, competition would have improved the product.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what Zeppelins would have been like by, say, 1950, had there been no state involvement in the market. But there was state involvement. So rather than having nice, slow, luxurious trips, the state, and when I say the state, I'm talking about the individual governments of the United States, Great Britain, France, Italy, Germany, Japan, Russia, all together, the state needed fast airplanes for war. They needed jet engines. They needed them desperately. Every government needed a faster plane to go kill the guys from another government.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this great desire for speed, but that desire for speed did not exist in the general public.
Right.
The general public kind of wanted things to slow down and stay at the old pace. But the governments push for faster planes.
Yep.
Bigger planes, heavier planes that
and
can haul more load.
Did massive propaganda to show these speed the fighter pilots and all of this in such glamorous light.
Right.
Then it made the younger generation, it brainwashed them into thinking that that was the way that you ought to try to live up to.
Right. If you look at airplanes from the end of World War I, they were pretty much made out of string and wires and cloth and wood. And so if you're going to drop a bomb with one of those, you pretty much had to hold on to the bomb until you got into the air and then drop it. They did come up with some levers and things to hang them off of the wings by the end of World War I. But mostly it was the plane was struggling to get a person or two in the air, much less haul bombs. But in the build-up to World War II, and we're talking specifically the 10 years prior to World War II, the governments wanted desperately to have big, heavy planes that they could pack full of bombs and carry tons and tons of stuff and drop it on people.
Bombs to drop on the state? Or bombs to drop on civilians?
Well, that's the thing. The government can't really kill another government.
Yeah.
All it can do is kill people. So when we bombed Dresden, and we firebombed Dresden with incendiary bombs that lit this ancient city up, and the fire was so hot that it literally caught the paved streets on fire that weren't even in the part of the city where we had bombed. And then the city was so hot that the streets started catching on fire, that we just leveled it. Those were not soldiers. Mm-hmm. That was not the government. We were not bombing the government. As a matter of fact, Dresden was not even where Hitler was at.
Right.
So it's not like we were trying to, fight a war government against government. We were killing people. We were killing regular people who had a job, who drank
little
milk.
Little kids.
Yes, who depended
old
on
ladies.
Their... Right. This is who was being killed. And they were being killed by these airplanes that were designed strictly to be able to fly long distances, very fast, and carry lots of weight. But would the market have ever created such an airplane? Would the market have ever created a B-17 or any of those World War II airplanes?
There's not really any reason for it.
There, other than killing people, there was no reason to do it. Now, after World War II, we already had the technology of big planes hauling heavy loads, flying far, fast. We already had that.
Right.
So it went into the market as air travel. But that's only because the state forced that to be created.
Yeah.
If the market had been left to itself, who knows what we would have been flying by 1950. I probably would not have been big, heavy airplanes.
No, because they're expensive. They are...
inefficient.
Incredibly inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not comfortable.
And dangerous.
Yeah. They're the opposite of what I want to travel. I mean, if you think about it, we could... let's say we lived in an anarchist state, and there was not this FAA control.
Right.
And I wanted to go on vacation. Well,
There was market controls.
Yeah.
The market would control things.
I don't care about getting to my destination within 6 hours. So I get on a Zeppelin, and I'm not groped by security. I don't have naked pictures taken of me. I get on, I carry whatever I want on the plane,
mm-hmm.
or on the Zeppelin.
Right.
I sit in luxury.
Mm-hmm.
I take 2 days
mm-hmm.
to get wherever I'm going.
Right.
I eat fine meals. That's part of your vacation.
Exactly.
You're
there,
on vacation from the time you sit down on your seat.
They used to say that the journey was... what was that saying? The journey is half the fun of... I can't remember. I blew the line. Sorry. I interrupted you to say a line, and then I blew the line.
That's okay. But as it is right now, you are hurried through security. You have to take your shoes off. You have to make sure you don't have anything on the list of contraband items.
Mm-hmm.
You're hustled through like sheep.
Yeah.
You get on the plane, you have no idea if your baggage is going to make it with you, so you pack the least amount of stuff that you possibly need.
Looks to me like you got an ounce too much toothpaste here.
Yeah. And you sit in this cramped seat for 6 hours on a plane. By the time you get off the plane, you're more stressed than what you were before you got on the plane.
Now, some people would say, yeah, but... we have to get to a job, or we have to do this. Everything is at a faster pace now. I don't have time to take 3 days to get from New York to San Francisco. I have to be there in 3 hours. Well, yeah, but keep in mind that the 8-hour day and the 5-day week were an invention of fascism.
Mm-hmm.
It was a marriage between the unions and the companies through government force to give us the 8-hour day, 5-day week. I have an article on that as well.
And it's not like there wouldn't be planes.
Right.
People wanted planes. And it's not like there wouldn't be fast planes.
There might have been, or there might not have.
But you might have a choice to say, I want to get there slowly and in luxury and you know, mm-hmm. leisurely, or I want to get there fast.
What would happen, though, if there had been no states, and there had been no World War II, and there had been no Pol Pot, and there had been no Stalin, and there had been no FDR, and there had been no mass murders of all these people during the 20th century, and Zeppelins were the luxury vessel in the air of today, and there would be people like maybe 400 or 500 people on a Zeppelin. A Zeppelin for that size would be the size of a small skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say terrorists took one over. And let's say the evil terrorists decided to hijack the Zeppelin and fly it into the World Trade Center. What would that be like? There'd be like people looking out the window. Hey, that Zeppelin's getting really close to our building. Yeah, hey, move. Hey, what are you doing?
You're going to hit the building. You need to
steer. Idiot just hit the building. Look at that. And it's slowly falling to the ground, slowly. And it's on the... oh, it got caught in the streetlights.
Oh, I have to try to pick it off there.
This is like the Macy's Day Parade. That's... is it too soon to make light of 9/11? We're not making light of the actual victims of 9/11. What we're making light of is the fact that it couldn't have happened without a state.
Right.
If there were no states, that would mean that the United States never used its muscle to back up France and England when they went into the Middle East and divided it up the way they wanted and put in the puppet leaders that they wanted at the end of World War I. Mm-hmm. That would not have taken place. Then the American intelligence agencies would never have gone in and manipulated countries like Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and kept those puppet regimes in place against the will of the people there and angered the residents. None of those things would have happened. The United States never would have manipulated all those different governments to create the amount of hate that is there. There would have been no Soviet Union to invade Afghanistan in the early 80s. There would have been no CIA prodding them to do so in the 1980s.
Yep.
None of that would have existed, and there would have been no 9/11 because there would have been no state-to-state hate like we have now.
Yep.
It just wouldn't exist. Yep. There would be no reason for somebody living in Saudi Arabia to go and transplant themselves to Afghanistan and then create a worldwide terrorist network to attack people in New York. That wouldn't have happened because they wouldn't have cared what people in New York did or how they lived.
Yep.
All that could have been avoided if people would have just recognized the ridiculousness of the state at the end of World War I and just said, no thanks. I think we're good. I think we can do this without the state.
Yep. And so, ignore the state when they try to take your milk. Or now your planes. Or your zeppelins.
Notice how smoothly we brought milk right back into that. It's all about milk. It's all about rights. Yeah. Whether we're talking about milk or zeppelins or airplanes or jet engines or, you know, it's all about rights. And it's about individuals doing what they want to do as long as they're not harming anyone else.
Yep.
Then it's no one else's business to go and interfere with them. And having a state over us to regulate us and tax us and tell us what we can do and can't do and, you know, what we can drink and what we can possess and what we can grow, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's stupid for us to tolerate this.
Yep.
Anyway, so now I'm saying stupid on the air. You're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be happy, and it's supposed to be a happy podcast. Well, that's the end of our happy podcast. Kai, do you want to add anything to our happy podcast?
We can put some happy little trees over here.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
It's your podcast, however you want it. You want a waterfall? We'll just put it in a happy little waterfall right over here. Right. Who knows? Maybe there's a rock that lives there. Do you think Bob Ross is popular enough that people will get that joke?
I don't care. It's funny. If you don't get that, it was funny.
Oh. Okay, well, thanks again for listening to badquaker.com podcast. And be sure and give us some feedback. Kai, K-I, at badquaker.com. I'm Ben, B-E-N, at badquaker.com. And if you're on the website, badquaker at badquaker.com. If you have any feedback about the website or if there's any features you'd like to see, then email the admin at, badquaker at badquaker.com.
Off the album Bad Quaker on the record company Bad Quaker.
That's a running joke that we have for the band
Bad Company.
Bad Company. They had an album called Bad Company, and their hit single on that album was Bad Company. So we're Bad Quaker, the website Bad Quaker, and the album Bad Quaker, and the hit single Bad Quaker. Oh, boy. Okay. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Thanks a lot, folks, for listening. Be sure and check with us next Wednesday, and be sure and check with us on iTunes. There's a lot of individual articles there. Most of them run about 5 to 10 minutes, so they're real quick to download and real quick to listen to. Thanks a lot, folks, and we'll see you next Wednesday. We won't actually see anybody.